Our text tonight is Psalm 72. The title of the psalm is for Solomon. And undoubtedly, David wrote this with his son Solomon in mind. But the language of the psalm goes way beyond Solomon. It refers to a greater than Solomon who has infinitely greater wisdom than King Solomon had. In Psalm 72, the first seven verses delineate the character of God's kingdom. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. That language tells us immediately that David is not talking about his immediate heir. He's talking about the great king who would one day come and rule God's kingdom universally. Now, in this character of the kingdom, notice in verse 1 that the kingdom, judgment, and righteousness are all granted by God. And he prays that God will give these things to the king. Now, human rulers do not rule simply by their wisdom. If they do, it's catastrophic. But a good king rules in the fear of God, rules according to God's revealed word. And here, David prays that God will give supernatural judgment, wisdom, righteousness unto the king's son. And of course, Solomon got all that. He was probably the wisest man that this world has seen, according to Scripture. But the ultimate fulfillment of those words are in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is wisdom. He has infinite resources of understanding. Solomon didn't have that. Now, it is interesting that in verse 2, he says, "He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment," that is, justice. Now, that's an important characteristic for rulers. They desperately need righteousness, and they desperately need justice as well. But here the prophecy is that this king is going to rule with abundance of righteousness and with justice for the poor. Now, even in our country, where there's freedom and liberty for all, the poor sometimes have a difficult time getting justice. They are at a disadvantage. But not before this great king. The Lord Jesus Christ is one who is absolutely just, who is perfect in his wisdom, and he accomplishes the will of his Father in all situations. So here, the Lord Jesus is the perfect fulfillment here. When it says in verse 3, "The mountains shall bring peace to thy people, and the little hills by righteousness," that is a reminder that peace only comes through righteousness. The nations try to organize peace. They try to manufacture peace by political machinery. And that is not to be done. It comes through righteousness. And unfortunately, mankind is severely lacking in righteousness. And consequently, in peace as well. But this king is going to achieve this because he is perfectly righteous. And before he is through, there will be a perfect kingdom on this earth. He will rule in absolute righteousness and absolute peace as well. We look forward to such a reign upon the face of the earth. It is obviously not here yet. In verse 4, it says, "He shall judge the poor of the people and save the children of the needy." Now, this is always a problem with every human government. What about those people who are poor, who have no resources? Well, in the ancient world, there was precious little done for them. They had no such thing as social security. The poor had no food, they starved. And that was just one of the facts of ancient life. With our country, there has been considerable attempts to help the poor and provide resources where there is none. But obviously, it doesn't work as well as people hoped. But this king will deliver perfect peace and perfect righteousness, and he will uphold the poor. During the great, glorious millennial reign, there will be no poor people starving on the face of the earth. He will rule in righteousness, and the poor will be upheld by his almighty power, and the earth shall bring forth harvests such as have never been seen in the history of the world, because he is a king of righteousness. When it says in verse 5, "They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations." The word fear there is not one of terror. It is reverence. They shall reverence this king. Now, it can't refer to Solomon here because he's dead and gone. But this reverence is going to last as long as the sun and moon endure. That tells us the great king, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is the fulfillment of this psalm. And when he rules, the poor will be sustained. God's people will be blessed, and there shall indeed be a reign of peace on earth. We can look forward to that. It has not come so far. In verse 6, "He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth." Now, this is something that we consider commonplace in our country, but in the state of Israel, it is not commonplace. The rain doesn't come very often, and people, especially farmers, are very seriously concerned over drought all the time. But when it does rain, then indeed things can grow. Now in Israel, they have the water pumping system everywhere. Huge machines that go around in circles, watering a tremendous swath of ground. They just go on and on watering that way. And so you've got circular patches of beautiful green fields. And outside of that, absolutely barren, dry desert. It looks strange to drive past that and see how the greenery stops right with the fence, and there's just nothing beyond it. But when God's blessing comes, and that glorious millennial kingdom comes, the earth shall bring forth harvests that it has never seen before. The king will be ruling. In verse 7, "In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth." Yes, the moon is going to be there. It's not going to disappear during the millennium. "His days, the righteous shall flourish, prosper." In the history of the world, the righteous have generally been persecuted. The righteous have been at a disadvantage because the world grasps and steals and misrepresents and deceives, and God's people are often the victims of such behavior. But in his days, the righteous will flourish. His blessing will be upon them, and that glorious reign will be from sea to sea indeed. In verse 8, we see that this great king is going to have universal dominion. And Solomon never had that. He shall have dominion from sea to sea, from the river unto the ends of the earth. Well, Solomon ruled a large part of Palestine, the largest part that has ever been ruled by a single ruler. But that was still nothing like this language, from sea to sea and unto the ends of the earth. Now, that is universal dominion. That is rule over the whole world. The Lord Jesus Christ will have that and rule as the great king during that glorious kingdom. In verse 9, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him. His enemies shall lick the dust. And this tells us that he will rule with power. He came in the first advent with peace, and he was treated terribly by the people on earth. But he came to sacrifice himself for the benefit of his people. What a marvelous, gracious action on the part of our great king. But when he comes again, it will be to rule. And his foes will be conquered. They are going to be removed from the earth by his power. And he shall rule without opposition, and his people shall prosper. Solomon could not do that. The Lord Jesus Christ can. In verse 10, the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. And this tells us again, it's not Solomon, it's the Lord Jesus. His rule will be universal. All kings on the face of the earth will submit to him. He will rule in the affairs of men for 1,000 years. That is the prophecy. Now, friends, God's word is never in vain. That will come. And this earth is going to be transformed into a millennial kingdom where Christ rules, and the blessing will be immense. Only he can accomplish that. Social programs will never do it. The good intentions of rulers, whatever their faith, cannot perform it. He is the only one, as the rightful king, who can rule and all the world obey, including all the vegetable kingdom, all the animal kingdom, and all the human kingdoms on earth. He shall rule in peace. And so it will be known as the peaceable kingdom. In verse 12, it says, he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. Now, this is another characteristic of our Lord. He is the deliverer. Mankind is burdened with trials and problems and difficulties. And Christ alone can deliver. Man is delivered only by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by self-effort, not by the good deeds programs that human beings invent. But the Lord Jesus does it by his power. And then man indeed will be free and will be blessed by his power. So deliverance is a key element in his kingdom. He delivers the needy when they cry. In the present age, the needy are not delivered. They're given some kind of substitutes and told to be patient. But the Lord truly delivers his people. In verse 14, he shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Now that's an interesting statement there. The world is filled with violence and bloodshed. The world is just seeing everywhere, on all hands, terrible violence. Not just militarily wars between nations, but the violence in the cities, the violence in the countryside, just continuous. And this is because now the devil rules. And now wicked human beings are accomplishing their purposes. But when he returns and his glorious kingdom is here, the wicked will be removed And he will rule in peace and righteousness, and there will be great blessing. In verse 15, he shall live. To him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. So here it shows that this great king shall receive worship and praise and honor universally. The gold of Sheba was proverbial in the ancient world for the most precious, purest form of gold. It probably came from areas in what is now Saudi Arabia, but some argue that it came from the coasts of Africa farther south. But at any rate, it was very precious, very good quality, exceedingly prized. And so to him shall be given the treasures of earth, all that men would have if they could today. But it shall be rightfully his, for he made it, and it is his to use as he sees fit. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth on the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. What an interesting reference to God's people. There shall be a handful of grain in the earth. Yes, that's his precious people. That is the elect, the group that begins the millennial reign, who trust in the Lord, who are wholly given to him. And that group is going to inherit the earth during that millennial reign. The fruit shall shake like Lebanon. Remember, Lebanon, the great trees, the cedars of Lebanon that were there, that was proverbial in the ancient world. So this group of people shall become like the great trees, prosperous, blessed, because of the presence of the great king. He is going to produce a kingdom that the world had only dreamt of and never experienced. But these people shall flourish like the grass of the earth. Now, that image is one that we don't see. And we know when springtime comes, everything turns green. That's right. But in Palestine, in the wintertime, everything is absolutely brown. There's no greenery anywhere. And when the spring comes, this desert region, where there's not a blade of grass visible as far as the eye can see, all of a sudden grass is there, everywhere, comes up. And it's very fleeting. It's there for a little while because the rain is there just for a little while. And whatever harvest can come, that's it. And then in the summer, it turns brown once again. For the rest of the year, it's desert. There's nothing. So that image of the flourishing of the grass, that was vivid in the minds of people. Oh, that was spring. That meant crops once again. That was everything. Yes, the presence of the Lord Jesus is everything. He means prosperity. He means blessing. He means that the earth becomes fruitful and people shall indeed be sustained by the presence of the great king. In verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. Men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. He is an eternal king. He is not coming to reign just for a few years, even 1,000 years. That is just the beginning, the foretaste. He is an eternal king, and he shall reign throughout the ages to come. When he was on earth, he was the King of Kings, but they didn't treat him that way. His disciples understood, no one else did. But this same Jesus shall return, and when he does, he will institute a kingdom that will have no end. For the millennium will last for 1,000 years, but his kingdom goes on into all eternity. That millennium is just a test case to demonstrate that he can bring blessing and benefit where all other rulers have failed. If you hope in human beings to deliver our people, you're hoping in vain. It is the Lord who is the great king, and he will bring true blessing on earth. No other ruler will ever attain that. All nations shall call him blessed. He shall rule over all of them. He is the rightful King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. Yes, David thinks of how great God is and blesses his name, Jehovah God, the God of Israel. He is the only being who can work miracles, the only being who can bless his people with supernatural blessing. And he is still the one to whom we look. We don't look for human programs to solve our difficulties, human rulers. They all fail. They all come short. But God never fails. And this great king is the only one who can miraculously raise up his people and rule in perfect peace and blessing. And that rule, my friends, will never end. He will rule in the millennium. He will rule in eternity. His rule is an eternal kingdom. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Yes, blessed be his glorious name. In our hearts, we should be blessing God for what he is doing for us in saving us and bringing us into his blessed kingdom. And in doing that, making us kings and priests with him to reign in his kingdom forever by his grace and by his power. We serve a mighty Savior. We serve the Lord of heaven and earth, and we should recognize how great he is and serve him from the heart, that his will may be accomplished through us. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. That probably tells us that at one time the Psalter ended with this psalm. David had written only so many, and that was the last thing that he knew about. But the Lord gave him more. There are many psalms with David's name on it in the following chapters. The immediate chapters are by Asaph. But this was the, we might say, first edition of the Psalter. But there are five books within the Psalter. Not every one by David, but certainly blessed ones by him, and this is one of the blessed. For as he prayed blessing upon his son Solomon, he was, by inspiration of God, speaking about a much greater than Solomon, who would rule with all the perfection that he and his son Solomon could not attain to. But he prophesied it here, and he was true in his prophecy. The great king will come. He will reign from sea to sea, and he will reign perfectly by infinite wisdom and infinite power. My friends, we must not forget how great a Savior we serve. He is not only great enough to save us from sin, rescue us from the temptations of the devil, he is great enough to save all his people and to give his people that eternal kingdom which no one can manufacture, no one can attain to, but he holds in the hollow of his hand. When the time comes, he will take his authority and rule. And by his grace, if you know him as Savior, you will be part of that rule of God that goes on for all eternity by the power of a living Lord. Christ is the great King. Do you serve the great King? Let's pray. O Lord, how we thank thee for how great thou art. How we thank thee for the promise of that great kingdom. And we pray, O Lord, that we would humbly serve thee now, and that day by day we would walk with thee and talk with thee, and let thy power and grace work through us to accomplish thy will, and by thy grace to count for eternity. Hear us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.